The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy.
Welcome, everybody. This is our next edition of the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I'm Chad Burke, president of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region. And with me today, special guest, Kim Haas, who is site manager.
Either will work.
Baytown Olefins plant site manager. So she's both a plant manager and a site manager. So welcome to the podcast. I know you. We met shortly after you came into this position, and I've wanted to get you in front of these mics and everybody ever since. So I'm really excited to sit down and have a chance to just kind of talk to you, get to know you a little bit better, and let our members and audience get to know you a little bit better. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's jump right in. First topic, I think on a personal level, as well as in work, really enjoy kind of community service and giving back. Why don't you start a little bit about and talk to us a little bit about that on a personal level, and then how that feeds into what ExxonMobil does as well.
Yeah, great. Yeah, my family and I, we like to spend our time often just volunteering and giving back. Part of my boys' schools encourage volunteerism. So we spend a lot of time, you know, at the Houston Food Bank or for the company, United Way Days of Caring. And it complements, you know, my personal and family interest with what the company encourages its mm-hmm. employees to do, which is give back to the community in which we're operating in. And for ExxonMobil, we do that in a number of ways. We do that financially through encouraging participation through the United Way campaign once a year. Within the Baytown area, we give over $1 million back into the community. That's a good portion of that is through employee contributions.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah.
And then we also encourage just volunteerism through things like the United Way Day of Caring, which we partner with so many nonprofit organizations that appreciate the projects that we work on with them, mm-hmm. Identifying the projects that they really find valuable to help them continue to progress their individual mission.
Well, I know that's very rewarding, and it's a great culture for a family and for a company to have. It's hard to be selfish when you're serving others, mm-hmm. right? And so that's a great way to do business and to raise a family as well, especially when you're working with your kids. Mm-hmm. That's outstanding. All right. So quick question now. Tell us a little bit about your career journey. And I really wanted you to dive into this because I know you've got a unique career journey that's brought you to site manager over in Baytown. So tell us a little bit about your background and how it doesn't really fit the normal mode of what we see out as site managers or plant managers.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique career trajectory for most ExxonMobil employees. So I'll back up a little bit to tell you about my origins because that has really shaped the person I am today. I grew up in rural Illinois with my sisters. I have three sisters and my parents on a farm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my sisters and I were fifth generation farmers.
Nice.
Where, you know, it was always instilled in us that we had to get our chores done before we got to do any extracurricular activities. And that instilled in me many life lessons that I didn't really appreciate at the time. Mm-hmm. But as I have, you know, gone through life, reflect back on that period of my life, has shaped me. One of the lessons has been patience. Mm-hmm. It takes 9 months for a cow to calf. Mm-hmm. It takes 100 days to have corn be ready to harvest. Mm-hmm. And that patience is very applicable in the business world, even though there are many influencers out there that might tell you otherwise.
Yeah, there's just wisdom in farming, right?
Right. That there's not instant gratification, even in the business world that we operate in.
Yeah.
From you know, growing up and graduating high school, I went to university and join the Reserve Officer Training Corps in the Army to help pay for school.
Yep.
And coming out of university, I spent 3 years on active duty here in Texas at Fort Hood as an engineer officer, and then spent two remaining years in the Michigan National Guard after I got off of active duty.
Very good.
And
what college was that you went to?
I went to DePaul University in Indiana.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm not an engineer by degree.
Yeah.
I'm a liberal arts undergrad. But
a liberal arts ROTC girl.
With being an engineer officer in the military.
Yeah.
So any engineering attributes I might exhibit, I attribute that to my time in the military as an engineer officer.
Outstanding.
My time in the military really helped me instill the type of leader I am today, instilling in me that leaders are in place to serve the people that they're leading. And that I continue to remind myself of that, you know, each and every day I come to the plan and lead a, you know, nearly 500 person workforce day in and day out.
And it's all about serving them, right?
It is.
Making them succeed. Mm-hmm. It's not all about getting praise every day. That doesn't work like that?
I tell my folks, I will be successful if you guys are successful.
Outstanding. Yeah. Now that's a fantastic definition of leadership. Yeah. And the Army, I guess, was a great way to learn that. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah. So I got out of the military and went and worked for Deloitte & Touche doing business consulting for roughly 3 years. Then decided to go back to grad school to get my MBA in strategy and finance. And during my 2 years in grad school in Washington University in St. Louis, I interned with ExxonMobil. Had, you know, just a wonderful experience and decided to take a full-time offer. And at this point, I've been with the company for 20 years. It's going to be 20 years in July.
Wow.
And I would say my 20 years experience, I feel very fortunate with the type of, you know, opportunities, experiences, job roles that I have had. I would have never have thought 20 years ago that I would find myself as a plant manager in a manufacturing facility, because I did not start out in manufacturing when I came in. I first 7 years were in a lot of supply chain roles, and came into manufacturing 12 years ago and have loved it. Not instant gratification, but very gratifying being in manufacturing to see the accomplishments that the team delivers day in and day out with the products that we manufacture in a very safe, responsible way to produce products that are needed in society.
Yeah. And I love that you've been there 20 years. There's a certain, there's just wisdom and opportunity that comes when you stay with a company and really kind of dig into that company. It's a different type of career than a lot of the, and I don't want to generalize to, generations, but I've got a couple of kids in a younger generation right now, and they're like, oh, I want to do this, and then next year I want to do this, and I want to do this, but to stay with a company for 20 years, it really shows that maybe that patience you learned on the farm, maybe, you know, but then great things come to you as you kind of grow with a company.
Yeah.
So you talked about your enjoyment of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So tell me, let's talk a little bit about the products you make. Mm-hmm. What is your feedstock? What goes into those products you make? And then what do your products go into down the food chain, if you will?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So Baytown Olefins Plant, you mentioned, was where I work. ExxonMobil within the Baytown community, we've been here for over 100 years. Mm-hmm. My facility has been around since 1979 when we started up our first steam cracker. Mm-hmm. At our facility, we have three steam crackers today. We've grown to three. It is the largest steam cracking site within the ExxonMobil global fleet. We produce over 10 billion pounds of petrochemicals a year. Mm-hmm. And the three primary products we produce are ethylene, propylene, and butadiene.
And I don't just go to the grocery store and buy any of those off the shelf, right?
No. So. You mentioned feedstock. So what goes into producing those three material products? It's primarily ethane is our primary feedstock.
That's the ethylene.
Into ethylene, yeah. There's also feedstocks. We do take in some refinery streams like gas oils that go in into the feedstock. So it's a primary feedstock is ethane, butane, and gas oils.
So for some of the rest of us non-engineers, now we've talked that you're not the engineer, but what does ethane come from?
Ethane comes from, you know, where same place where crude oil comes from.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, fractionated when it comes out of the ground with the NGLs.
Yep. The natural gas liquids.
That's right. Natural gas liquids to ultimately separate the molecules into ethane molecules.
And when you use the word steam cracker, you're using steam.
We are. Yep.
To crack these molecules.
Yeah.
Right? These
think of
carbon chains, right?
We use steam at very high temperatures. Think 1600 degrees or higher temperatures to take in the feedstocks to break down the molecules that we ultimately, through compression and fractionation, separate out the molecules into ethylene, propylene, and butadiene.
The streams that you want to take off, and then that is your product. You will sell that. Now, what do those products go into?
So those products are transported primarily via pipeline. Mm-hmm. The ethylene goes into polyethylene, which then ultimately is in end-use products like recycled plastic bags, plastic wrap.
For food industry, for food is an example. HEB steaks are wrapped
The liner within diapers. So those that have babies out there, that protective liner so that, you know, it doesn't leak is in diapers. So that's ethylene. Going into polyethylene to end-use consumer products like that. Propylene can be in things such as plastic components in your car.
Yes.
Is one that really easily comes to mind.
Yeah.
And then butadiene, things like rubber, tires.
Yep.
So many, you know, end-use products that we use day in and day out.
Yeah, so a lot of things that make our life easier to live, right? It makes the quality of life better for everybody who gets a chance at those types of products.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. All right, so while you are working as site manager, what's your biggest challenge as a plant manager, a site manager?
Yeah, I'm gonna start with a story to explain my biggest challenge, because hopefully it'll make sense. I have two boys, two teenage boys. My youngest one, Nikolai, he is right now a freshman in high school. But several years ago, I think it was in fifth or sixth grade, he was working on a group project to come up with solving the plastic pollution in the ocean. And he came home after working on it with his group, very upset, understandably. And he came to mom wanting to know, not only telling me about what he's working on, but asking me what I'm doing to fix the problem. Because he knew, you know, the company I work for. And it was really important to me in talking with him about what he was struggling with in terms of the problem, is for him to realize that even though I work for an oil and gas company, I am just as passionate about solving that type of a problem as he is for his passion that he has for saving, you know, the whales in the ocean. And that story, I think, is really representative of the challenge I have being a plant manager, both internally with my workforce, but also externally as I engage people outside of the company. In that internally with the company, there are people wanting to understand what ExxonMobil, being our employer, what we're doing to address the challenges like greenhouse gas emissions or plastic waste in society, what we're doing to address those big global issues. Externally, that's the same thing too. And it's not that we are just staying focused in our traditional oil and gas, trying to make the products that we've always made, but talking about the things that we're leaning into and investing in to try to solve these really challenging problems. And that even though people have varying views of the issue on how to solve them, we're all after the same thing.
Exactly.
And so that's, I think, my biggest challenge is how do I articulate that in a way so that people appreciate that we're not on two sides of an issue that we're actually on the same side and value a result that is the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know it's not your facility, but the advanced recycling yes. facility that, recently been built and mm-hmm. up and running.
That's a great example yeah. of where we're trying to develop a technology or a solution that is not competing with the mechanical recycling.
Yes.
Actually trying to get at plastic waste that is ending up in landfill today because yeah. mechanical recycling can't take it
yeah.
for technical reasons. But we're trying to go after and reduce what's going into the landfill today. And for that, this is the great thing about, the integration that we have within ExxonMobil. We've got this facility in the refinery that's taking in plastic waste, or I would say plastic feedstock.
Yeah, exactly.
And those molecules find its way through the feedstock coming to my facility
mm-hmm.
That ultimately going over to our Mont Belvieu facility and becoming a very circular
yep.
way of addressing the problem.
Yep, yep. No, that's fantastic. And that's a great example. All right. So now you talked a little bit about your family,
mm-hmm.
A couple of boys, right? So tell us a little bit about your hobbies and interests and what the Haas family does in its off time.
Yeah. So I have a husband. He also works, not for the company, but works for Deloitte. And we have two teenage boys. My oldest, Misha, is a senior,
mm-hmm.
and my youngest, Nikolai, is a freshman. For me personally, as a working mom, I try to exhibit balance, trying to strike the right balance between effectively doing my job and being a good mom as well. And so, my husband and I are very involved, have been very involved over the years with supporting our boys and their activities. When they were wee little, we were very active in coaching
yeah.
in sports that I did not necessarily play, but we volunteered and helped with coaching to now I'm just a good cheerleader. They both play ice hockey. So I'm a cheerleader on the side of the rink supporting them.
Now, you've probably traveled quite a bit with your career with Exxon, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
Where did they pick up ice hockey?
My husband.
Because probably not here in Houston.
No, I would I would have to say it's because of my husband. He originally grew up in Moscow.
Okay.
Russia, and I guess those genes are pretty strong.
Well, and I love the boys' names because there's obviously some roots, some family mm-hmm. ties there, which is fantastic.
Yep.
So they picked it up from your husband.
They did. They've been playing ever since they could barely walk.
That's outstanding. So did they? Is it? So now I'm going to dive deep into sports. So are they doing like club or school or?
Yep, club and high school.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun.
And so, that's a good chunk of my time. But I also, like I said, we like to volunteer, just obviously like to spend time with family. And also I like to, run, walk, maintain my mental health, physical and mental health as well.
Very good. Very good. I've gotten the great opportunity to get to know and be good friends with a lot of plant managers and site managers. And so I know that it is a 24-hour job, right? You have probably at least one, if not a couple of different phones or beepers or things like that, that contact you and can contact you at any time of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're never really off when you're a site manager is kind of the way that they've put it to me. So
right.
I know that can be, that's a lot to carry and at the same time have that balance and that ability to go for a run or a walk and kind of clear your mind and mm-hmm. get those endorphins or spend time with your kids and do all those things. So I know it's a lot. It's a lot to do, but you seem to carry it off very well. And it sounds like you got just a great family, and I know you're doing a wonderful job at ExxonMobil. So.
Well, I have a great family, but I also have a great team at the site.
And very good.
So, like we said earlier, leaders are in place to serve the leaders, the people that they're leading, and the people that I have on my team. I feel very blessed and fortunate for me to be their site manager.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, it's been fun to get to know you a little bit better. I'm very glad that all the folks on our Gulf Coast Growth Show will get a chance to hear from you. And then I'm sure at some point before too long, we'll get a chance to put you in front of one of our audiences at one of our events. We'd love to do that as well.
Love to do that.
All right. Well, for Chad Burke and Kim Haas here at the Gulf Coast Growth Show, thank you all very much for tuning in. In the words of Zeke and Jason, like, share, and subscribe, and listen to it any way you can. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.